we're joined by Edward Chilvers, who joins us in the studio right now. And I'll give you a clue, actually, as to what he does. Honestly, I've always wanted to play an instrument to a decent level, so I'm very excited to hear from somebody who have, you know, spent so many years honing their craft and able to play the piano in a fantastic way. So thank you for joining us in the studio.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Now, this journey takes you all the way back to age 4.
That's right.
So who was it specifically who introduced you to the piano?
My mother is a piano teacher, an examiner and composer. And when I was 4, I had to do piano lessons. It was like, you have to go to bed at this time, you have to eat your dinner, you have to do your piano practice and learn piano. So there's no choice about it at that age. It was just something I had to do. But by the time I was 6 or 7, I really enjoyed it. I had some skills and I just loved it. So I've loved it from a very early age.
The thing is, there is a point, I think, where many parents will introduce some kind of instrument to their child and they might be into it for a bit, but eventually they kind of think, there's other more exciting things to be doing. So what made you stick with it?
I had to do it. I was forced. And I think a lot of children that are kind of forced to do an instrument when they're younger and forced to practice end up being really grateful that their parents made them do it when they're older, because very few children actually want to do disciplined practice. But if you haven't got good by the time you're like 12 or 13, it's unlikely that you're going to really make a career out of it or do amazing things with it.
In terms of the practice that you were doing, like, how did it dominate your day? So, like, how many hours? What was it like?
Well, at age 4 and 5, it didn't dominate my day too much. I just had to do my half hour, you know, and I'd do my half hour of the practice I had to do, and I might do some just playing around, improvising, you know, just noodling on the piano as well.
Later on?
I started practicing more obsessively at age 16. I've done about 3 hours a day, every day, since I was 16, as a sort of minimum. Sometimes 4, but generally 3 hours a day since 16. Up until then, I might have done, you know, an hour here or there, but it wasn't quite so structured and disciplined. But at 16, I really kind of took it very seriously and became quite obsessive about it.
Was there a style of piano playing or music that you particularly enjoyed at that age?
At age 16, I was very into Rachmaninoff, Liszt, Chopin, the kind of conventional virtuosos. I loved the sparkly, dazzling technique. I liked the fast playing. I liked the challenge of playing really difficult things, and the kind of the grand passion of the late Romantics.
When did you do your first kind of public performance?
I suppose I did one at school when I was about 7. At primary school. I don't know if you'd call it, if that counts as a public performance. It was like a sort of a charity fete thing. It might have been for Red Nose Day or something. It was some charity concert I played at school.
Yeah.
But also I used to play piano competitions when I was younger, festivals, and just play out and around. But in terms of an actual concert, I think probably the first one was about 7.
It could have been that this was just something that you did as a passion, and you didn't take it on as your career, so to speak. So at what point did you realise, actually, this is something that I want to dedicate my life to?
I think it was when I was 16. And I suppose, you know, that's a kind of age where, you know, your passions mature a little bit and you can start to feel things more deeply. And I had a very profound experience of playing the piano and just realising this is what I love more than anything else. It's a difficult thing to describe. And to be honest, it's not something that kind of came in just one go. It sort of dawned on me at around about that age. There's all these other things that life is offering, but this is what I really, really enjoy doing more than anything else.
Where did it take you in terms of what, once you decided to do that? The good thing about music is you can go around the world, can't you? You can connect with different people, you start to get introduced to different styles. So where did it take you?
Well, when I was younger, I really wanted to throw myself at everything. So I did piano in the musical theatre, in the pit at the Kenton Theatre. I played in jazz quartets, I played classical recitals, played for singers, played in lots of different contexts. And that's one thing I'm really happy that I did, very grateful for. That got me to meet lots of very different people and experience lots of different environments and contexts for music. And you sort of learn very different things from each of these disciplines. Playing in the theatre is a completely different sort of thing to playing classical recitals, which is a completely different sort of thing from playing in prog rock bands or funk bands or that kind of stuff.
Let's talk about that, some of those differences. So when you're in the theatre, what do you have to be much more aware of?
So when you're in the theatre, you're down in the pit, you're trying to watch what's going on stage. You're trying to keep an eye on the script. You're trying to keep an eye on the director who's next to you directing things going on. You're looking out for the constant mistakes and errors and flaps that are going on and responding to them. And it's not just about the music in the theatre. There's so much more else happening.
They're the things that we don't even notice because
right.
you cover up.
Right? Hopefully you don't notice, yeah.
When you're in a prog rock band, presumably it's just not the same every single time, is it? So,
well, that was mm-hmm. very much about experimenting. What mm. attracted me to that was the idea that let's do something different, something original, something new. It was kind of almost originality for the sake of originality, which I'm not a big fan of now, but at the time that got me thinking in new ways, trying out different things, approaching music from different perspectives, because it's all about let's do something wild and different and put on a big stage show. And
we've been talking about a lot of the positives, but it can't have been always easy. So what's been difficult about trying to forge a career in this area?
I think the most frustrating thing is I might work for years or something at a piece of music or certain concept and try and get it out there and struggle to get any particularly big recitals or whatever else, and then you see some just awful duff music getting incredibly popular. That's a frustration. That, I suppose that's the main thing. I would like to be, I guess like any musician, you would like a bigger audience. And I kind of feel like the music that I'm making, I would like to have a wider, I'd love to be touring the world playing big concert halls.
One thing I did want to talk to you about is something that you've coined called polytempo. So what is that?
The idea is that you're playing three or four different tempos at the same time. And the idea is simple enough that you've got just multiple speeds. If you imagine like having three or four metronomes going different speeds, it's basically like that. But once you're playing different speeds, then there's a whole challenge to make that work, make that function elegantly as listenable music. But the idea is if you've got multiple speeds going on, it kind of creates a multi-dimensional experience for the listener, pulling your attention in lots of different directions at the same time.
How then has this connected with your latest project? How much of that can we see?
Well, the latest project does use a lot of polyrhythm. I mean, it's kind of quite central to the style. Most of what I'm playing is multi-tempo stuff, one way or another. There's lots of different ways that you can do multi-tempo stuff, so I've been exploring that. But yeah, the latest record I've been doing is maybe more subtly multi-tempo.
So what's it called? Where can we find out more details?
The latest record that's out now was called 31 Pieces. That's on Spotify. And there was 12 Etudes before that. That's on Spotify as well. There's a couple of records in the works which are being mixed at the moment. There's one, Meditations, and there's one which we are not finalised on the name of yet, so I don't want to say it in case it changes.
No, I don't want to get into any trouble, but yeah. we can stay connected with you. Just give us your socials. How do we do that?
I've got a YouTube channel. I'm on Instagram. I think they're the main ones. I think there might be something on Facebook. I don't know much about that. Spotify is the best place to find me.
Spotify to listen, YouTube and Instagram if we want to stay connected with those dates.
Just Edward Chilver's Piano.
And lovely. And just before you go, I did say there'd be advice for anyone who wants to follow in your footsteps then. So if you are a budding pianist, if someone said to you the lesson that you have learnt, the one thing you would have liked to know, several years previous, what would that have been for you?
Well, the first thing for everybody is learning an instrument. You've got to practice even when you don't feel like it. If you only practice when you feel like it, you'll never be any good. So you've got to practice and commit to practicing every day for at least an hour, at least. And the second thing is that almost everybody practices too fast. I mean, I teach a lot of students. I did it myself when I was younger. They play their scales too fast. They do their sight reading too fast. Everything's too fast. If the people that are really, really good and progress really quickly practice really slowly. I've got a couple of pupils that practice as slow as I tell them to, and they progressed incredibly quickly and play really, really well. So to anyone out there, you're almost definitely practicing too fast.
Don't practice too fast. Practice for at least an hour. And I'm wondering,
there's no too much practice. Practice as much as you can, as much as you can bear to practice. Practice until your brain is exhausted every day.
And I'm wondering what role listening to other people plays in all of
well,
this.
Well, what I'd say is that when you listen to really good music, I think it improves you. And when you listen to really bad music, in the same way as if you eat really bad food, you're going to be less healthy and your mind's going to not function as well. And if you watch a lot of trash TV, it dumbs your mind. Whereas if you, eat good food and read good literature and listen to good music, it sort of enlivens your mind. I think music in the same way. If you listen to a lot of Bach and Beethoven and Wagner and Debussy and that kind of thing, or good bands like Radiohead, or I'm not going to, then I think that can really improve your sensitivity as a musician, the kind of ideas that you have access to. The kind of thing you're liable to think of, or the ideas you're going to have, are generally informed by the kind of music you listen to. So listen to good music.
There you go. You've been told. I did say that I'd get some tips for you. It's been lovely to have you on the show. Thank you so much for dropping in.
All right, thank you.